This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. Well, it's good to have my longtime friend, Evangelist David King from Fort Worth, Texas, with us today. David has been preaching since 1993. In that time, he's traveled around southern United States, Mexico, Grenada, Philippines, Burma, leading crusades, revivals. He's also on radio and television. He and his wife, Riley, are members of Calvary Cathedral in Fort Worth, Texas, and host a television ministry. They're spreading the gospel and calling for revival. Their call and fire meetings are to see cities shaken by the gospel. Their call and fire meetings include preaching, teaching, demonstration, impartation. David King preaches the gospel with fire and fervor, teaches with wisdom and authority. David, it's good to have you on BPNRadio.com today.
Well, it's great to be on, Brother Dale. You're a tremendous blessing. You've spoken into our lives over the years, and just appreciate your fervency in prayer and stirring up the spirit of revival.
Well, I've known you for a long time. I'm not sure what church, year we got acquainted. I do know that I started coming to Fort Worth in 1988, so I don't know how far back we go, but it's been quite a ways.
Yeah, and it's been a good ways. I was, I don't know, within the last week, just going over prophetic words that, you know, I've received over the years and reviewing a number of years, I've got them all written down or so. Thankful for that. You know, God's used you to speak into our lives, and God's, you know, the best is ahead. I believe 2018 is a powerful year of revival, and we're excited. We're stirred up and just ready to go. Hallelujah.
Well, I'm excited too. Tell me about your story, about how you got called to preach and how you got started. I always like to hear people's stories, and I know it's very, very encouraging because I believe there's other people that's probably listening here on this Wednesday, and they're thinking, I have a call of God upon my life, and I believe that God has called me to preach, to ministry. And maybe you could talk to me a little bit about how you got started, how that came about, how the call to preach, how did you know you were called to preach?
Yeah, well, sure thing. I probably the first recollection I have of the call of God was when I was 10 and 11 years old. You know, my mom got our family on fire for God, and my parents started really just serving the Lord when I was in third grade. And I remember going to public school at the time, and my mom took me aside in the laundry room and kind of gave me what I like to call the speech, where she said, you know, David, I'm getting my life right with God, and we're turning this family around, and we're going to be serving God. And within about 2 or 3 years after that, just getting plugged into strong ministry, we were raised up on Kenneth Copeland teaching tapes. And I remember mowing the yard when I was probably 10 or 11, and just not really understanding this, but envisioning myself preaching. And then when I was 13, my mom took us to a Benny Hinn crusade out in Dallas. And, you know, I had severe asthma at the time. Mm-hmm. And we were there because we were believing God for a miracle healing, and which did happen in other ways by standing and fighting the fight of faith. But Benny Hinn was walking out in the crowd and called me out and said that I had a call to preach and I'd be in full-time ministry. And all that's come to pass. And then in 93, revival hit, you know, here at Calvary Cathedral, Pastor Bob Nichols, and that really lit the fire of the call of God. And just been pressing in and following the call of God in every way every way since then, and it's been a wonderful fight of faith for 20-plus years, and God's got the greatest to come. Hallelujah.
Well, that's an amazing testimony. So being knowing you were called to preach at such a young age, so how did you get started preaching? How did you get invitations?
Well, really, as an evangelist, the stirring and the fire in me was to reach people and just spread revival. I think what really the first thing that started was in '93. Revival was really hitting in various places around the nation, and through the revival here at Calvary, our family was attending another church at the time. And I went to the youth pastor because we had gone to a youth camp and then revival services here at Calvary. And so I went back to our youth pastor at that church, and I asked him. I said, you know, I want to do Bible studies and minister, because we saw the revival fire touching people. And so I got his permission to lead a Bible study within the church, and so we started holding a Bible study every other week in my parents' living room. I think I was 17 at the time. And I remember about the second or third one that we did, we would just have, you know, 15, 20, sometimes a little more teenagers over mm-hmm. on a Saturday night. And the second or third one that we did, I felt what I would do was put a cassette tape, you know, back in those days, put a cassette tape together of praise and worship, because, you know, I can't sing. I'm a preacher. The Lord called me to preach, not to sing. So I just played some music, and I remember during that, the praise and worship time for about the second or third one we did, I felt the glory of God roll in the living room, and I got so excited that I ran out of the living room and I went back to my mom's room, and she was back in there, and I said, Mom, you've got to come. The power of God just hit. And I can feel the anointing now just talking about it. I said that the anointing of God just hit. You got to come and see what's going to happen. And so I ran back into the living room and just as best as I knew how to do, you know, made a call for various things that, you know, and started laying hands on people. And that's how it started. Remember, we saw, you know, within, so we did that for a year. I led that for a year. My sister, Kelly, was a part of that, and saw people get healed. Had one girl's leg grew out, and people came back to God and got saved, and you know, and just started with that, and then jumped in Bible college and got an invitation later to go down to Mexico with Bobby Crow, and eventually started traveling to various parts of the world doing revivals and crusades. And but that's how it started, was just the fire of revival, you know. And so many, the majority of ministries and churches and denominations all start in the fire of revival. It always starts with somebody getting touched and getting the fire of God planted on the inside of them, and to the point where they can't shut up. You can't be quiet about it. And, you know, and even sometimes in the beginning of ministry, there aren't invitations, but the invitation that is there is the invitation of the Holy Ghost and the fire that he puts in somebody saying, go and do this. And then there's a heart that says, I've got to get somebody saved. I've got to give somebody a prophetic word. I've got to preach. I've got to share. I've got to share this. I can't stand it anymore. Hallelujah. I got to get it out. And, you know, that's what it came down to. That's how it got started, and just, you know, being faithful to it. Hallelujah. Yeah. And, you know, God grows it and opens doors. And
well, David, I observed you for a long time there at Calvary Cathedral, and the many times that I ministered there, and I observed your hunger for God. You were always in the prayer lines and wanting to receive, and I just knew that you had great passion for God. So it's not surprising that God is using you in the way he is doing. And, you know, I've said many times, people have said to me, how do I know that I'm called to preach? And I said, well, if you are thinking about how you know, then you're probably not. Because when you're called to preach, called to minister the gospel, you have such passion that you cannot contain yourself. I know that You know, I started out by holding a revival in my home, and there wasn't anybody there just except me and the Holy Ghost, and probably a lot of angels around. But I started preaching, and then God just opens doors. I mean, when you have the passion to preach, and of course, if there's any need today, it is for more preachers. I know there are some people saying, well, we've had all the preaching that we need. We're an over-preached nation. But I don't believe that. I believe that the call is for preachers, and I've been calling for young men and young ladies to come out of obscurity for several years to preach to their generation. So we need preachers, and we need revival. And how can we have revival without preaching? Preaching and revivals go together. So talk to me about revival. I want you to come on today, first of all, because I believe in you and your ministry, and I want to do anything I can to be a blessing to you. But I know that God is using you in different areas, radio and television, and I think you've been doing some tent meetings, and there's different places that you've been preaching the gospel. So talk to me about revival. I believe that 2018 is going to be a tremendous year of revival in America. And tell me what has been happening in your meetings and what you believe that revival looks like.
Well, I believe what's been happening in our meetings in the last 4 months or so, and you know, it has been happening for years, but specifically in the last 4 months, has been a greater level of the manifestation of the Holy Ghost and the glory of God, and the preaching's been stronger, and the healings have been stronger. But what it takes is preachers. Preachers are the leaders, and preachers in the pulpit, whether it's an evangelist, prophet, teacher, or pastor, or apostle, we have to be willing and ready when in the pulpit to yield to the Holy Ghost. And that means that the preachers have to be willing to turn over control of the service to the Spirit of God and let the Holy Ghost do whatever he wants to do. And that takes a step of faith, because you're really in front of a crowd stepping out and doing something when you don't know what's going to happen next. You know, you don't know if God's going to heal people, and sometimes the crowd can be a little tentative to jump in, and you can go a period of time, and you're pushing, and you're standing and moving in the direction of the Holy Ghost. But that's what we have to do, is see that take place, because we are the leaders, and people are gonna follow our leadership. And it is so important that that happens, because what the Holy Ghost can do when the preachers in the pulpit turn over the service and yield to the Spirit of God entirely and take that step of faith, the Holy Ghost is able to touch people directly from heaven. And everything that a preacher does in the pulpit is anointed. But in those times when the Holy Ghost is being poured out, when we see Acts chapter 2 happen, and then Acts chapter 13, verse 52, it says the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 29, it says that the room, the place that they were gathered, was shaken by the Holy Ghost. So there are outpourings of the Holy Ghost. And what happens when preachers yield to the Spirit of God in the pulpit and in their ministry and let the Holy Ghost move once, and I just want to emphasize again that it's a step of faith. You know, I think that sometimes we preachers can almost write off too much on, you know, que sera, sera, what will be in the pulpit, and well, the Holy Ghost didn't want to do that. But we need to take a step of faith when we're ministering to see and give the Holy Ghost the opportunity to pour out his anointing and his glory and his fire on the people. Because what happens when the Holy Ghost is able to do that, it accelerates the service and the meeting beyond the hand of man and beyond what people can do, and it allows God to impart glory into people and touch people and do things that a preacher alone can't accomplish. I've just really been seeing that in the last 4 months more than ever before, where the glory of God has touched people. And there was one testimony that came out, because we live stream everything at gospelnation.tv, And I was preaching out in East Texas, and a pastor's daughter was watching one of our live streams from here in Fort Worth, and she hadn't been baptized in the Holy Ghost yet. She believed in it and hadn't spoken in tongues, but she believed in it. But it was in one of these services in particular on a Wednesday night while we were live streaming, where she was watching. And I'm telling you, the glory of God was in that service. One person was kind of caught up in a vision or a trance for a period of time, and other people were just getting touched. And the Holy Ghost really pulled me back out of the way and didn't have me preach my message. And this pastor's daughter was watching. And while she was watching, the power of God hit her, and she began to shake. We got the testimony back later on. The power of God began to shake. It hit her, and she began to shake uncontrollably. And tongues began to flow out of her mouth, just out of nowhere, from watching on the live stream. She was in East Texas and wasn't even there, and the glory of God touched her, you know. And that's why it's so important that we ministers have the hunger for revival, but that we also have the faith for revival. And it takes a step. I just can't emphasize enough how important it is that the preachers have hunger for revival, mm-hmm. and have faith for it. Because if we're hungry for it, but we don't take the step of faith in services and in our ministries, then the opportunity is not there. But we have to take that step of faith. And so this girl was baptized in the Holy Ghost, and for a long period of time that evening, the Holy Ghost would just come on her so strong, tongues would begin to flow out of her mouth, and it was just a glorious experience. And I think it even went on later into the early morning hours, where the Holy Ghost was just overwhelmed by the Spirit of God. Yeah. And you know, that's what's been going on.
That's good. I believe what you said there concerning hunger for God. I remember that before Gene and I came to Fort Worth in 1994 and led the 24-week revival, Pastor Bob Nichols kept saying, "Dale, I'm so hungry for God. I'm so hungry for God. When can you come?"
Yeah.
And that seemed to be the buzz sentence that pastors were using. Because I remember Gene and I, we traveled for 8.5 years, almost continuous years, doing long, protracted meetings. When I talk about 24-week meetings, 20-week meetings, 16-week meetings that Gene and I led, one in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, for 11 weeks when they had sometimes 40 below zero weather, people were coming out. Why is that not happening again, David? What has happened to us?
Well, I think that revival comes in waves, and ministers in particular have to be responsible for the waves of revival that come. And when we are faithful with little, we become faithful with much. And for whatever reason, it seems like maybe the last 10 or so years, maybe plus, there's been kind of a complacency in regards to revival. I think that that preachers can see and be involved in a mighty revival of the Spirit of God. And then what you see over church history, even in the United States, is that after a people group have experienced revival, that they were involved, they were excited about it, but after 10 years or so of that, they feel like, okay, I've got that, and it's a notch mm-hmm. on their belt, mm-hmm. and they move forward from it, but they are, without realizing it, have actually moved away from it.
Yeah.
And then when revival comes in the next wave and the Holy Ghost is doing something powerful, there can be such a tendency, and this is exactly what the spirit of religion wants to do. The spirit of religion is the most dangerous, effective attack the devil has against the church. It is not ISIS. It is not the atheist movement. It's not bad politics. The most dangerous attack the devil has against the church is the spirit of religion.
Mm-hmm.
Because the spirit of religion will come and say, "Well, you've experienced revival, you've been through that, and you don't need it again. You've already had that experience," and people lose their hunger. And that's why we have to stir up hunger on the inside of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it starts with the preachers more than anything, because the preachers have to have hunger stirred up on the inside of us again. And I think the other reason that we can lose that hunger for revival, one is the spirit of religion makes us feel like we've already been there and it's okay. The other one is that we become numb to things. And we look and we see the way that things are in the world today, and we become numb to it. We become accustomed to it. Because I remember, like you referenced in the early 90s, how hungry Pastor Bob Nichols was and still is to this day for revival.
Yeah.
And one thing that he mentioned so much back then was how the elections in 92 went bad. And he felt like something had died on the inside of him. And you see, Pastor has never been numb to the things that are going on. He has a fire and a challenge that says we have got to see real Holy Ghost revival. And I think that's the second thing that comes to my heart and mind right now is that, like I say, number one is the spirit of religion stops it. But number two is that we become numb to what's going on in the world. We become the devil wants the preachers and the people to become numb to the need out there for people to get saved. And we can feel like, well, we've got a certain level of success in our ministry, so we begin to become numb to all of the people that are dying and going to hell out there. We become numb to what's going on in the world and to the need for revival. And our own success can be the thing that lulls us to sleep. But when we set our eyes on what Jesus has set his eyes on, you know, in the new year, and I'll say this real quick, in the new year, you know, we're always praying, and we start praying in December, and even sooner than that, but we start praying real serious through the month of December about the plans and the movements and things for the new year and the ministry. And involved in that, I will look at other ministries and see what's God speaking, what's God's doing in the earth. But it comes to a point where I have to stop. I have to turn off looking at every other minister and say, Lord, what are you speaking? And look into the face of God in prayer and get in his presence. And when we do, that is going to turn our eyes towards the harvest and towards revival, because with Jesus, he never does get complacent. With Jesus, it's a family issue. With all the lost and the unsaved people out in the world today in the streets, in the cities where all of us live, that's his family.
Yeah.
And it's never an issue of him getting complacent. It's never an issue of Jesus feeling satisfied. He's always going after them, after the people. And that's what revival is. I say that the revival is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, which grows the kingdom of God. And when we leave the last part out about it growing the kingdom of God, then we get complacent.
Mm-hmm.
But when we look out and we say, okay, my church may be full, my ministry may be doing okay, but look at the high percentage of people in our cities that are still going to hell that don't know the Lord, that if they heard the gospel, they would get saved today. If they turned on their TV and saw the gospel preached on a secular station, they would get saved. If a soul winner came up to them on the streets right now, they would get saved. And that is where, when we have that heart, then we realize, hey, I've got to have the outpouring of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
I have got to have the fire of the Holy Ghost burning on the inside of me and our ministry, because we can't grow the kingdom of God without it. And when we have when we can't look it in the eyes of God, we can't get in the presence of God without having a greater heart for souls. I said it this way once. I said, if you think you're getting closer to God, but you're not getting closer to winning souls, then you're actually just getting closer to religion.
Yeah.
And that's not a point of condemnation at all, because not everybody's called to be an evangelist. I understand that. You know, everybody has their part to play, but if we're truly getting closer to the Lord and in his presence, there is always going to be a fire of the Holy Ghost of revival stirred up to reach out and touch people. And it can, however that manifests, but there's always going to be growth that comes from it.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
Hallelujah.
I agree. And David, I'm setting myself in agreement with you for great revival, great happenings of the Holy Spirit, and just being led by the Holy Spirit in 2018. I believe it's going to happen. In just a moment, I'm going to have you to pray, and I want you just to lead us in prayer for 2018. You know, one of the reasons that we started BPNradio.com 2014 is so that I could hold the microphone and let other preachers preach so that we could carry revival services live here on BPN Radio. I believe there'll come a day that every night on BPN Radio we'll have revival services being broadcast from somewhere in America or the world, maybe even one of your services, David. So I'm ready. I've got a microphone, and people across America are listening and around the world. And so I want you to tell the people how they can contact you, how they can get in touch with you. And then I want you to say a prayer for revival, and I'm gonna play a prayer song. And so tell the people how they can reach you, David.
Well, we've made it as easy as possible. Just gospelnation.tv. You can gospelnation.tv online. Our website comes up number one. If you do gospelnation.tv search on YouTube, Twitter, or Facebook, we come up number one. So just gospelnation.tv on anything. You can almost just go outside and holler gospelnation.tv and we'll show up.
So gospelnation.tv. David King.
Yes, yeah, and that'll take you to harvestministriesinternational.com. It'll forward there, but we live stream a lot and have a prayer line, and you know, all the information is there. And well, amen. Will you,
David? I'm proud of you, and I'm delighted that you are an evangelist. You're preaching the gospel, contending for revival, and I'm going to play some worship music, and I want you to close this segment in prayer, if you will.
Amen. Hallelujah. I just declare a stirring of revival right now in the heart of every listener in Jesus' name. I declare the Holy Ghost touch you with a fresh fire right now in Jesus' mighty name. Holy Ghost, I thank you for touching every single person listening.
Hallelujah.
And stirring up on the inside of them. I break off discouragement off of every single person that would say I can't do it, or any preacher that says I've tried to push for revival and it didn't work. I declare the faith of God rise on the inside of you, and the hunger for the things of God be stirred up on the inside of you. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Holy Ghost, for the fires of revival. I thank you.
Hallelujah.
That, as Caleb said in Joshua 14, give me this mountain, that we are saying this year, Spirit of God, give us this mountain of revival, of the growth of the kingdom of God, of the Holy Ghost fire being poured out. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Spirit of God, for that stirring right now, the stirring. I just declare a stirring of the Spirit of God in the heart of every single person, a stirring that even when this broadcast is wrapped up, that they are still stirred up to do something in the name of Jesus.
Lord.
I break a religious spirit that would make anybody feel satisfied and complacent in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. That's just falls, melts like hot wax in the presence of the fire of the Holy Ghost right now.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you, Lord, for that, for showing every person the faith, the step of faith to take, and what we can and should do in prayer
and in
the natural realm to move and to see revival take place.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. David, I set myself in agreement with you. So good to have you on. God bless you in your ministry. Stay in touch.
You too.
Okay?
Bless you. Bless you, Brother Dale. All righty.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
Father, your word says, that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, for it is our reasonable service, and that we are not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds, and in so doing, we then perform not only what is the good and the acceptable, but the perfect will of God. Lord, my desire right now is to lay everything down as a living sacrifice. Tonight, Lord, I ask you to take my life.
Lord, I want to be like you. That is my heart's desire. I want to know you face to face, not from afar. To die to
I wanna know why pain makes me stronger. I wanna know why good men die. Why am I so afraid of the dark, but I stray from the light? I wanna know why you gave me eyes when faith is how I see. And tell me, is it easier to doubt or harder to believe? Oh, there's so many questions stirring in me, and I'm wondering why. Sometimes the truth ain't easy to find. I want to know all the answers, but I'm learning that. rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Age to age, he stands.
My eyes.